You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
I don't really agree with the phrase of you can't be friends with your children. Jesus is our friend. Got to face it because you love them that much. Well, you're going to have those feelings anyway. You're just not going to talk about it to me. Please listen to your children. Don't cut them off.
You're listening to a special series on having the talks because one just isn't enough. You can now grab the newest card deck for parents and children by going to www.havingthetalks.com.
Dear young married couple, have you ever wanted to just sit down and talk to a successful veteran mom about the balance of being your kid's friend versus their parent?
Well, today we did just that. We got to interview our mom, Kimberly Horton, and she gives us all the tricks and tips on parenting.
Yes, we asked her your questions as well as some of our own and shared some of our reflections of growing up and what that was like to be parented by someone who struck that balance really well. And we're looking forward to sharing this interview with you today.
Yes, and just a reminder, today is the last day to order Having the Talks on pre-order, where you get all the freebies, the emotion chart, all the cool things. Go to www.havingthetalks.com to get your card deck today. When they do go on Amazon, the price will increase, so make sure you snag that today and start having those talks in your home.
Yes, and before we jump into the interview, just a little bit about Kimberly, our mom. She is a mom for, well, how old I am, 33 years, and she's a wife for 37 years, a Grammy of three, and she's also a parent coach. So she has coached numerous families throughout the years on how to do better at parenting, and she's going to share her insights with us today.
Our kids are 5 and 6, and they are growing so fast that it's hard keeping up with buying new clothes.
But now we have found a solution so they don't have to outgrow their favorite clothes after only a few months, and that is Posh Peanut.
Posh Peanut is a great solution for many reasons. They have super soft and stretchy clothes that seem to grow with our kids, so they get longer wear out of them.
Yes, and our kids love Posh Peanut because of the incredibly soft viscose fabric from bamboo that stays soft even after you wash them over and over again.
When the kids were babies, we bought matching mommy baby PJ sets for them, and we started getting Posh Peanut daytime clothing too.
Last week, we got matching dresses for our daughter and our niece, and the girls absolutely love them. No complaints of it being itchy or uncomfortable, so praise God.
Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code DYMC.
So go to poshpeanut.com/DYMC and use promo code DYMC for 20% off your first order.
That's poshpeanut.com/DYMC, promo code DYMC.
Welcome to the podcast today, Mama. We are so honored to have you on. You are by far our most important guest on the podcast.
Aww. Yes, today is going to be a good one. You're going to get a little glimpse into the life of dear young married couple as a child.
Yes.
And I just want to say, too, that without this special lady and her husband, Ken, dear young married couple would not be able to do the things that it does. Or I should say my wife and I, traveling and ministering and doing conferences and seminars and all that other stuff, wouldn't happen without their support because they watch the kids and, we trust them completely. And it really relieves so much, mental worry space that could be there, but isn't.
Yes.
So thank God for you guys and your support throughout the years.
Well, you're very welcome. And it's our pleasure for sure. We love our grandbabies. Aww. And plus I'm a big fan.
I know. Mommy texted me the other day about something like going on a date. Oh, it was when on our anniversary you surprised us and took the kids so that we could go on a date. And you're like, yeah, I heard that spontaneity is really important. I heard it on a really good marriage podcast.
Gotta remind them.
In case you're wondering who's at the table today, because oftentimes Karina and I sound similar. Mm-hmm. So it's our mom, Kimberly Horton, and then Karina, myself, and Adam.
This is Adam's voice.
So you guys submitted a bunch of questions, and we won't get to all the questions, but we will answer, we'll ask most of them, some of them, to our mom, Kimberly, today. And just so you know a little bit more about her, because we shared some in the intro, but so there are five kids. So I'm the oldest, Carissa.
Then Karina.
And then there's Carly, Kayla, and Kyle. And as of next month, Kyle turns 18, and that makes all five of us as adults.
Woohoo! Congratulations!
Oh, can't believe this.
And by the way, they've been known as the Special Ks.
Yes.
For a long, long time.
Yes.
Yes, that's who we are. My sister-in-law, Sandy, named us that a long time ago.
Stuck ever since.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's pretty special that now we're all adults. And I think a lot of people have told you over the years, and I'm not bragging to say this because this is a testament to your you guys as parents, but people have told you, like, you know, you have successful children, and how did you raise five now adult successful children? And so that we're going to be digging into some of those specifics today, and obviously we're going to dial into things that are pertinent to having the talks as well.
Yeah, what's interesting and difficult, I think, about this whole space is that you don't get results right away.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that, you could write a book on it, but, 20 years down the line, you might see, this could have been done differently.
Mm-hmm.
So this is special because we have fruit that's demonstrated with the kids. And we can kind of look at, okay, what are the things that were done well, and what are the things maybe that you wish you would have done differently?
Right.
Because I think everybody has those things.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun.
Me too.
Yep.
All right. So question number one. This is actually, I think, a fun one to start off with. Someone asked, what are some funny memories that you can share about your daughters or your son about having the talks? So what comes to mind as something funny?
Which one is she going to share?
Okay. Well, I think something's coming to mind here that sticks out that's funny. And it's about you, Carissa.
Of course. Of course.
Carissa was the nosy one, right?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
She had all the questions.
She had a lot of questions, which was great because it got me thinking a lot for the answers.
Yeah, it's good that I wasn't the first because I didn't have a lot of questions. Right. But you learned through Carissa and all her questions, right? What questions I should be asking.
That's right. But yeah, so we have like a 7-year break between Karina and Carly. So we have Carissa and Karina, and then we waited to have more children. And then we had Carly, Kayla, and Kyle. But I remember Carissa, she's like, well, so... I tried to open the door of your room and are you done having babies or
I think
that was really funny because I had to then explain Daddy and I have our special time even if we're not done having babies or not, because we love each other. And then of course the conversation went on from there.
I love it.
That's great. Oh my goodness. Okay, so another question that comes in here, and I think it's a really great one because you did have a lot of experience with girls, four of them. But
yes.
Then all of a sudden, what do you guys like to call Kyle? Not the mistake.
The surprise.
Oh yeah. Yes.
His sisters call him. The mistake.
No. I'm just kidding.
Have never called him that. Yes. Maybe Carly
he was
or Kayla.
Our surprise.
Yes. So then you have the surprise. And surprise, talking about these topics is a little different when you're talking to a boy. So can you talk with us a little bit about the differences there?
Well, I think boys in general probably don't have as many questions when they're younger. than they than girls do. I think that's a personality trait as well. So again, you know, kind of like with you, Karina, I had to ask questions and that's what we would do. We would ask him. And of course, the talks went a little bit different with Dad. I was kind of the same with Kyle. Like I was with the girls because I wanted to have the same talks and not make it awkward. But it was just, you know, it was different, of course, with how he answered. Sure. But it was comfortable because we did start at a young age having talks.
Right.
And with all the sisters and with...
Right.
Because they have the talks too.
Yes.
You know, because it's comfortable in our family not to have to hide something that you're wondering about, and we just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he just grew up that way.
Like he was very comfortable with all the feminine products.
Oh, yeah.
Because absolutely.
They were everywhere.
Oh, yes.
I think he's purchased them for us plenty of times.
Sure.
Like, you know, yes. He's
going to make a great husband and dad.
Oh, yeah. Day. For sure.
Long time.
Yeah. So part of it was growing up with sisters. But then part of it was that, you know, you guys wanted to maintain that consistency of how you had the talks with us girls versus how you had the talks with him. It was like, you know, we're maybe like, okay, so Daddy was involved a little bit more than he was with us. Daddy was kind of like on the sidelines with us.
Yes.
But always there and not uncomfortable when we're talking, giving his 2 cents every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with Kyle, it was like, I heard you say, you just pretty much stayed the same. Like you continued having those talks even though he was a boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it does come from how you've been brought up. You know, my mom was easy to talk to as well. And, you know, she has said it. I've said it now. We wish we would have said this or asked that or talked about this. You know, the day we live in now with all the technology, of course, it's even different than a long time ago. But, you know, so I feel blessed that it was comfortable, you know, when I grew up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as comfortable with my husband when he grew up. They didn't talk about it.
Right.
So it does make a difference. But I wanted to, you know, so we talked about it with you all.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was important.
So this just kind of like goes right into a key question, I think. From what I've seen, you've always been, because full disclosure, everybody. So Krissa is the oldest. So now when I look back, you know, we've been married for 14 years. We've been dating for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So for most of the life of your younger kids, I've been there.
Right.
I saw them as little kids. So it's kind of weird thinking about that. So I've got to watch not only, of course, like, okay, how you are now with Krissa and Karina, but also watch how you've raised the younger kids because I've been around.
Right.
So one thing I've noticed is that you are very, very involved with the kids. Mm-hmm. It's not like you take mom as just like a kind of a part-time job, but you are like, but you're interested and you're, I would say, a friend cautiously, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, you can't be a friend to your kids. But maybe could you talk about that of how did you maintain a friendship where there was that open communication?
Mm-hmm.
That you were able to talk about that, you know, because the talks only happens well if there's a relationship.
Right.
Right.
So how did you structure, how did you think about relationship with your kid while maintaining your discipline or maintaining the authority?
Yeah. Right. You know, I don't think it was hard because, again, the way I grew up, I was friends with my mom. But you do, there is a balance there. And yes, be friends with your children. My goodness, you know, I don't really agree with the phrase of you can't be friends with your children. Jesus is our friend.
Right.
Hello. So, you know, that's how.
And
that's
he's our authority. So,
absolutely. And he has to slap our hands sometimes, you know.
Right.
I think there is a balance there because you can't be too much of her friend and just let them have their way or, oh, they won't like me as a friend. I won't be cool if I say this or I don't let them do that. My goodness, I just been through that this week. You know, I have to say no, I can't be cool. And then later, you know, my son appreciates that. He knows I need to say no or need to, you know, get him in line. At the time, they may not like it. But then you get chatting as friends again.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I was just telling Adam on the way here, I was like, because we were specifically talking about how you were always in our business.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And to a lot of teenagers, though, like that could feel intrusive. And yeah, I'm sure there were times where it felt intrusive in the moment. But always, we were thankful that you were in our business after the fact.
Yes.
Whether that was hours later or weeks later or months later, we were thankful that you were in our business. How did you do that in a way that always made us want to come back around and say, thank you for being in our business?
Yes.
Well, I think I sometimes forewarned you that, you know, you may not like this right now, but later you'll be thankful for this. And this is my job. I am your mom.
That was a line.
Right. This is my job. I'm going to do my job right. You know, and or if you didn't like what I was saying at the time, what do you think I should say to you? Should I just let you do this or that and not say anything?
That's a really good tactic, actually. Like, you have done that and it makes us stop and think like, oh, what should I say? And you didn't ask that as a rhetorical question. You literally asked that to us. Well, what do you think I should do right now then?
Yes.
And we had to stop and answer that. Yeah. And we had to come out with the truth.
That's such good coaching, really. I know you were parenting, but you were coaching us too because we had to put ourselves in the parents' shoes and say, oh, yeah, you actually are making a good decision as a parent.
Right. And, you know, let your children know when they're young and when they're older until they move out, you are going to be in their business. I've just told a parent the other day, get in their business. You have the right. You're the parent.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Yeah.
Like, so, okay. So for like a 10-year-old,
what does that
look like?
Well, that's easier because, you know, you can ask the questions about, you know, how was school today? Or, tell me some of the conversations you have with your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked it. And that's like getting in your business, you know.
Here's one of my favorite lines. This is more of a teen line, but this is one of my favorite ones. One sister, I won't say who, gets off of the phone with her boyfriend. And as soon as she gets off the phone, mommy says, so what did so-and-so have to say?
That's right.
That's a very common line.
Yes. I know. They like to tease me now.
Yes. But we've repeated that so many times. And now, like, we just say it even, like, from our husbands.
Because
now we're all married except for Kyle. And, well, Kayla's almost married. But, and so we'll say, like, Carly gets off the phone with her husband. So what did Seth have to say?
Yes.
And obviously there's good boundaries in place now where you don't try to get in our business with our spouses.
Well, no.
But like that was always the balance, there growing up, you know?
Absolutely.
And it wasn't just like I'm going to try to catch you in something. That wasn't the spirit.
No.
It was, I'm genuinely interested in what your boyfriend had to say.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like how you hold it too. Like, talk about that. So some things are just like you're chatting it up and having fun and just hearing what they said and laughing about what's silly. But then sometimes you get these checks.
Mm-hmm. The checks.
The checks.
Tell us about your checks.
Well, you know, I think for sure this comes from God. You know, and I know we think of for things on our own and God's sometimes probably thinking, what? That wasn't me. But but no, I do believe because you stay on your knees, you pray every day for your children and for your children's spouses. You know, Adam, I prayed for you way before I knew you. I did. I prayed, you know, I prayed for all of the spouses and I still do. That's what, you know, we need to do. And that's so when I feel like, okay, wait, I'm having a check. Like I can be in a conversation and all of a sudden I'm thinking, no, this, I don't think they're telling me the whole truth. And then I'll just come
dead
and say,
on, you guys, dead on.
She always was right.
Well, and I look at him and say, that's not the truth. And I feel like you're not telling me the truth right now. So let's talk about this more.
Well, and then you just started using the word check. And we just knew, like, surrender. Because if she uses that word, she knows.
And I try not to overuse that because I didn't want to say that to scare you.
Right.
I really prayed for that. I wanted God to be in my business, be in your business. I wanted him to move in when he needed to move in.
So that for a 10-year-old, you could kind of just directly authoritarianly.
Yeah.
Authoritatively.
Thank you. You could just kind of tell them what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, you're not going over there.
Right.
But then, okay, so they're getting older, right?
But can I interrupt real quick? Cool. She actually didn't do that at 10. She didn't say, like, please, no, you're not going over there. Like,
no. Right.
You had a conversation with us.
Right.
Yes.
And that's why at 12 and 15 and 16 and 18, it wasn't this, like, oh, she's just trying to control me, because at 10, she didn't do that.
Right.
Right. So how did you do that? Like, how do you leave them with that feeling?
Well, I wanted them to feel comfortable about anything that's being said. If they wanted to go over to a friend's house, and yes, I would come out and say, I know that a lot of people are not comfortable with the word sex. And so now they are nowadays. People say it all the time. But I mean, when you guys were younger, people they didn't say it.
Right.
They said doing that or whatever, you know. And I said, so be careful. You don't want to freely use that word. But if you hear that word, what is the conversation about? And always feel free to talk to me. You're not going to get in trouble ever.
You always told us that.
Yeah. You're never, I don't care what you've seen, what you heard, or what you talked about. You're not going to get in trouble because we're all human. This is, these are normal questions. These are normal words. These are things that, kids like to talk about because they think they know what they're talking about or whatever.
Right.
So that was really important, that I always wanted you guys to know that you wouldn't be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we knew, like, even if it's something that needed to change and that, you know, maybe there was a sin or there was something gone wrong or gone astray, like, we knew it's okay to, like, course correct, because you weren't going to get us in trouble for telling you.
Right. Yeah. Right. And make it normal that it's okay to think about, sex or, depending on what age.
Yeah. And you saying that just now reminded me too, like, when we were younger, a lot of times, because it's normal for girls to like boys and for boys to like girls and have crushes, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we'd be like, oh, I have a crush on so-and-so. And we'd be talking to our friends, and then our friends would be like, oh, I'm not allowed to like boys. I'm like, what is that? What do you mean you're not allowed to like? Of course we do.
Right.
And so I know, like, you were always really good about saying, like, of course you have a crush on him. He's cute. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
What do you like about him?
What do you like about him? Exactly.
Right. Or even as detailed, and that this might feel awkward to some people, but it was normal in our house, even as detailed as what happens in your body when you feel the butterflies.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted us to be describing what was going, like, body awareness. What did that mean to be turned on, even if we didn't use the phrase turned on at a young age?
Right. And of course I wouldn't use that word, but like what you just said, because it is normal, everyone. When they're 1 or 2 years old, even, they're being shy with, someone that's nice looking, and why. I mean, God made us this way. So, to not allow for you to have feelings, that's just saying, well, you're going to have those feelings anyway. You're just not going to talk about it to me. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk to your friends, or you're going to keep it to yourself.
Right.
And
You don't stop the feeling. You just, it depends on however the parent reacts, how much information they're going to get from their kid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. What's really interesting, as I was like listening to you talk about that, the flip side of that is, if you have a hard time accepting the fact that your kid is going to like other kids, you're also probably going to, maybe have a difficult time when they are liking someone, and how do you let them into the family?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
So like I didn't ever feel like, of course, I was awkward at first when I came over. It's like, okay, I like this girl. I've never done this before. You know, like I'm going over their house to meet everybody.
Oh, cool. You were great, Adam.
Thank you.
You were my pick from the beginning. Yep.
But here's the thing. Like, you never made it feel weird. Like, this was a strange thing that was happening. It mm-hmm. was like, welcome to the family. You know, yes. like, not as if, like, we were married, but, like, you're welcome here. We're just going to have fun. We're curious right. about you. It wasn't like this
evaluation
that mm-hmm. I had to like watch my P's and Q's to just pass the test. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it felt very open like yeah. that.
Right, so good. How did you guys manage that? Like, did you and Daddy talk about that ahead of time?
Here he comes.
Well, I don't know if we talked about it ahead of time in conversation, maybe like a conversation about like, oh, when Adam comes over or whatever. And, I think Daddy liked to tease sometimes and, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. With, you know, Adam
challenge
appreciated.
Challenge me to ping pong.
Oh, right. Yes. And appreciated his corny jokes because Adam has those as well. But
I don't think they're corny.
Of course.
But yeah, would you say that was kind of, that was just your philosophy on us dating, that you were going to, like Adam said, just be curious about the person and instead of being judgmental about the person?
Right. Right. Because that's a part of dating. It's part of, you know, the young people getting together. I love it that, you know, all of you were constantly making plans to be with young people. And I did have a lot of youth parties.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
Because I'd rather it be at my house. Not that you couldn't go anywhere, but I liked everyone coming over, and that's how you get to know other young people as well. Exactly. I like that too.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, it's like you guys were putting the work in. You and Daddy were putting the work in because you knew these are the people that my girls are with all the time. And
absolutely.
Kyle, these are the people that they may be their future spouses. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, we had youth parties at our house all the time because I remember you wanted that at our house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys were putting the work in.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
On that note, talk about how you guys handled sleepovers. I know it's kind of related to what you just mm-hmm. said. Someone asked a question about okay. sleepovers. So talk right. about your philosophy on that.
Okay. Again, I'd rather the friends sleep over at our house. So that basically was the rule. Not that I know that, you know, with the cousins and everything, you guys slept over. But yeah, we had people sleeping over. And the living room was the place, you
That's
know.
Right. Always.
You get, you know, the sleeping bags and the pillows. So that way, they were used to us coming in and out, getting a drink, you know, in yep. the kitchen and saying, oh, you guys are not asleep yet. You know, you've had too much candy. And, you know, I made it a point to come in there, but not sit there and be part of the slumber party.
Right. You weren't like joining the circle the whole time, but you were definitely present. You're in and out.
Even when you didn't know.
Oh, yes. I'm sure. And even there were times I remember you falling asleep on the couch while we were, yes. you know, all on sleeping bags in the living room.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
In other words, that's a big sacrifice.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I remember a lot of times where you would, and still do, go really out of your way to stay present. You go, yes. go on trips that you really don't have to go on. But because you do, you know all the kids that your kids are talking about.
Yep. Right.
And you're in their business.
Well, yeah. and the road trip, you know, I get to listen yeah. to all of it.
Exactly. You were on all the road trips.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yeah. And I think that that's a really good example of that balance we were talking about earlier, that I think that you and Daddy did so well. Of the balance of being our friend so that we knew we could always talk to you, but also being our mom because yeah. that was your job.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good example from a young age and then, you know, all the way up until, you know, the teen parties. And so you guys did that for a lot of years. I mean, yeah, you're still doing it. Just that No Limits in March, you guys had
not just teens.
No, I know, right? You had the after party at your house.
What, 4 or 5 in the morning? Yeah, or something.
I think your husband told me, he's like, yeah, I came downstairs and there are people still there.
Right. I woke up in the morning at whatever, 5 something, and everyone, a bunch of people were still.
See, I knew where my kids were.
Right.
But no, my kids go over to other people's houses too. Sure. You know, have good friends that Kyle hangs out with and but I know them well.
Exactly.
And they think a lot like we do and they're open and anyway, you know, I feel comfortable about that.
We've been talking a little bit about like specific hours of the night, you know, like a party going until 5 o'clock in the morning. Talk to us about how you guys handled what other parents might have put arbitrary rules on, like you must be home by 11 p.m. every night, you know, like this specific curfew or this specific, you know, rule or age when you can do something. Mm-hmm. You guys handled that differently. Can you talk about your philosophy on age versus stage?
Yes. Always, I didn't put an age time because I want to be able to say, in which I told you this, I can change my mind.
Yep. Oh, always.
Yep. That was the line.
And, you know, if you break the trust or you disobey or you're later than what I wanted you, then no, we will change our mind on this. But it just depends on the service. Like if it's No Limits, for an example, and then what friends are over and how late I want to stay up, how many times I want to come down and check on everyone, right. You know, I wouldn't put it just a certain time. I felt like because if you do that and all of the young people are hanging out, church got out at 10, and then if you have to be home at 11, well, then you're missing out. So you go home, you're in your room by yourself, then you start thinking, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, or I'll call somebody right now then because I'm missing out. And then it just leaves room for those secret calls.
Yeah.
And not that my kids never, you know, tried a secret call. But, you know, of course, I collected all the devices. I mean, when you got older and you had devices, but, you know, when you were younger, we had the phones in our room, the phone lines and the computer.
Yeah. Totally. Younger being teenager.
Yeah. Still,
13, right. 14.
Yeah.
Not younger being younger than that. Like, right. She was still collecting the phones as teens. Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
So
yes.
Here, this kind of leads into another thing. What about, like, so I remember thinking, like, wow, you know, they're a little bit young, you know, say what kids are, like, little young to be, you know, having boyfriends, right? Or whatever. And because there was never like an age that you stamped on it, like at 15, you're allowed to, or at 18, you're allowed to have this. Same thing with like, well, Chris has said before, shaving your legs,
right?
Like a very womanly thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's different for each kid.
Yes. Yes. And, I did not put an age on it.
Talk about that. Like why? Like some people would be like, well, hold on.
You can't shave till you're 13.
Yeah. Well, because we all different and someone might have hairier legs than the other at age 9 because it happened.
Someone being Karina.
and if, you know, that bothered her, and I just felt, you know, like, of course I shaved your legs for you first, you know, and, but I didn't put an age because if I said, oh, you can all do it at 9. Well, then maybe the personality or the maturity wouldn't fit there.
Or the need.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So it's all about like need and development level and stage.
Right. And you can use that for other things as well.
Yeah. Like, what are like some examples?
Yeah. Because, and I would never like, you know, having talks at a young age, and I just love the cards because I wish I did some things like that, like the card state, you know, like asking certain questions or how about, you know, the way you go about it. I wish I had those cards.
But, let's be honest. The cards, half of the card questions are from you.
Exactly.
Because they were put into us and then we created them.
But, sure. You know, one of the things like you, Karina, being a scientist. But, you know, I wish I knew more of the science way of our, you know, our bodies, how they work and all of that, to where to explain it more. I wish I did research on that. I didn't think about, I need to do research on this so I can talk about this. But, you know, I just, you know, talked about the important things, but that's important too. Yeah. And it makes it make sense.
Yeah. Right.
So I, you know, I like that. Yeah. I like that you know, Carly, Kayla, and Kyle were able to learn that from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
We had that class, so that was cool. I was learning too.
Yes.
Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
So that was actually one of the questions that someone submitted. Like, did you have any regrets regarding having the talks? So one of them being maybe that you didn't have as many scientific conversations about how our bodies work. Any other regrets, things that you wish you did differently?
Yeah, I think because Carissa, you were very talkative and so you asked a lot of questions. So I kind of waited sometimes for Karina. And then, so I wish I didn't wait as long sometimes with you on some things, because I was thinking, well, I'm not just going to just talk about everything when she's not even wondering, you know?
What'd you do? Like, were you just not curious, Karina?
You know, I think part of it was that I truly wasn't as curious as Carissa, or I was curious about other things. Sure. You know, I was very into, sports. So they, you know, they always call me the tomboy. So like, I was curious, I kind of did like have that train of thought, you know? But it could have been too, that I just, wasn't curious enough to ask. So I might have a fleeting thought, but it didn't stick with me like it would Carissa until she got her question answered.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Each of your kids, and I can even point at them and say, like, each of your kids and the way they ask questions were all different.
You're right.
And the way they handled conflict within themselves and conflict was all different. Like, how did you navigate all those differences between your kids?
Well, you know, sometimes I had to just wait and pray about it and say, you know, we're going to pick this up later and talk about it. Because I need to pray about this. And, you know, it does take a village. I have resources. I have my parents. I still have my parents. I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, relatives really close to, you know, my siblings. And so I was able to, you know, just talk about it and then get back with the question sometimes.
And that's okay to do, folks. You can wait. Right. You don't have to address it right then and there.
Right.
As long as you come back to it. But you can pray about it and seek counsel.
One of the benefits, and this happens when people are afraid of talking about things, like let's say like a doctrine or talking about the things of God, and they're like, I'm not sure if I want to share things because I don't have an answer. And this goes for kids too. I think it's really powerful to know that people respect you if you say, I don't know, because they know you're not just making it up on the spot, which leads to distrust.
Right.
But if you could say, I don't know, can I talk about that? Not only does it lead you to more trust, but it also opens the door for another conversation.
That's right.
And another conversation. And the more conversations you have, the bigger the bridge and the stronger the bridge you have to that person's heart.
Yeah, that's really good. And like what you were saying, Carissa, go back to it. Don't ignore it and, you know, put your head under the sand, you know, and think, well, if I don't bring it up again, maybe they just won't talk to me about it because you don't feel comfortable talking about it. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Like, just because, you know, I said, well, it was comfortable growing up. It's still, it's not the most comfortable subject. It's not like, I can't wait to talk about sex again. You know, that's it. It's not. But nowadays, you know, about what do you see online and what kind of things just pop up, and you got to talk about those things because these are things that I'm learning too. I'm like,
right.
Oh my goodness, you know, that popped up.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, again, you have being in their business, and if mm-hmm. you choose to let them have devices, you know, again, what age or what for? What do mm-hmm. they need it for? School? Where do they have their devices?
Exactly.
And that's been a big one, and it still is. I mean, you know, I get teased about it from people sometimes that I still collect the devices. Like, yeah. Or if they do need some quiet time, the door is open and yeah. the device is facing the door when I come in, you know, so I can know they're doing schoolwork. Not that I want to catch up anything or think they're going to look at something bad or
it's accountability.
Right. Or they can be goofing off and, you know, on YouTube basketball videos instead of homework or something.
I just got called out.
Yep.
Yeah, true. And one thing you did with us, and of course this was before smartphones, so it might be a different way or different age for other families. But when I was 13, that was just the age that worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
You got me a phone, but it was our phone. It was yours and yes. my phone.
Yes.
Like you literally, there was no other number mm-hmm. that we had. We shared that phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, got to contact you on daddy's phone when we were apart, you know, and we right. used it to connect with each other. And I used it to text friends or a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But you were very much in that business. Mm-hmm. And then when Karina got old enough, around the same age.
Yeah, around that same age.
Then I got to keep that number, this number I still have. And right. then you got another phone with yep. Karina.
Right. And we shared for a little while.
That's right.
And then same thing. Yes. Yep.
Yep.
And, you know, after a while, after a couple years, it became finally my phone. But that was a couple years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And I think it did build in that accountability because it was a shared phone.
Mm-hmm.
We had access to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like once it became our personal devices that you lost access. You
right.
always had access. And mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? You know, you use the phrase parents sticking their head in the sand, because I think that does happen a lot, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think issues arise.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more obvious when kids are teens, but I think it starts when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents think my kids would never blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you would hope mm-hmm. that they would never, whatever.
Right, right.
But can you talk a little bit about how you avoided sticking your head in the sand?
Well, I wrote a paper on this.
I remember the comments. Yeah. It was like ostriches with their yes, heads.
Yes, that's yeah. what it was. But yes, because like I said, you never like to hear someone come up to you and say, I need to talk to you about your daughter or your son, or this is what happened. You know, you just want to take up for them and say, oh, this will never happen and blah, 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 blah. You can't do that because that's doing them a disservice. Mm-hmm. God doesn't do that to us, you know, and we have to think that way. You know, what would Jesus do? Right. You know, and that's a true statement. You feel like it. You feel like, oh, you know, you feel embarrassed. You feel like your face is getting red. You feel like putting your face in the sand, but you can't. You got to face it. So because you love them that much to say, yes, I'm sorry that they said that or they did that, or, you know, we'll take care of this. Because you're going to face these things. Your kids are not perfect. Okay.
Right.
So they're going to do wrong, and you're going to have to, you know, talk to them and discipline them mm-hmm. and be embarrassed sometimes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was listening to Jordan Peterson today, and he said, statistically speaking, 2-year-olds are the most violent humans on the earth.
Yeah.
My kid would never hit another kid.
Right.
I'm sorry, but Forrest has almost every single... But I think what you say is, you know, tagging in what you said earlier, that it takes a village.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's really good. One of the things that I wanted to ask, we know that the way we react to mm-hmm. what you're hearing your kids say or questions mm-hmm. or even what someone's telling you, and then you go to your kids. How did you do with that? How do you manage reactions to mm-hmm. maintain that relationship, to have an open dialogue without freaking them out like I did something really bad?
Well, that's when, you know, when you're doing your praying, you're thinking, and you ask God, help me, God, when this does happen or this does come up, help me to react like you want me to react, you know? And I'm not saying I always reacted just right, because I didn't. those are those regrets that you're talking about. but for the most part, I did, because I chose to. And was it easy? No. I had to just, you know, be silent and listen. And please listen. Please listen to your children. Don't cut them off, because they'll talk more if you say, I want to hear what you have to say about this. I'm learning from you too. It's okay to say, I'm learning from you. You know, whatever you say right now is not going to be wrong. Let's work this out. You know, there might be, you know, something that they're telling you what happened, and you there needs to be some discipline there and everything. But, you know, another thing I didn't do, I just think it's funny when you're grounded for a month. You know, who grounds their kids for a month?
I don't think you ever put a time on it, even if it was a realistic amount of time. I don't think you ever said you're grounded for this long.
You're right. She would just say, you're grounded, and when I feel like it's time for you to not be grounded, then I'll let you know.
Right.
Right.
And you never grounded us from church events, folks.
No.
I hear people, you're grounded from youth. Like,
Why do that?
Or you're grounded from Bible quizzing. Oh, my word.
That's like you're grounded from family devotion. That's the same thing. No one says that, right?
Right.
No one says that. So you don't ground them from youth events. Now, you're grounded. You could go to youth service, but you're not going out tonight.
Right.
You're not going to BJ's.
Yeah.
You're coming home.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's the balance again.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So why did you not put the time frame on it? Why did you say, like, you're grounded until I feel that it's time?
Because I waited to see if there's a repentive heart. Mm. And if you wanted to do better, and if we had the conversations, and then, of course, I didn't want to say you're grounded for a whole week when you really didn't deserve to be grounded for the whole week. But then if I see there's an attitude going on, and the attitude lasted for another day and another day, I'm glad I didn't say you're grounded for 2 days, because now they need to be grounded for 3 days.
You know? True. That's exactly it right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Transitioning a little bit before we close up, one thing that was always really important to me growing up that I remember was our car talks.
Oh, yes.
And even if it meant that we were going to be late going in somewhere, or, you know, that we spent another 45 minutes in the driveway when we were parked at home.
Driveway talks is what they should
driveway
call it.
Talks. Driveway. Yes. So, how did you structure that? Was that a plan, or did you kind of just happen upon that and realize that driveway talks were so important? Talk a little bit about that.
I think it happened, and it worked out with you, Carissa. So I thought, oh, this works, because it is.
Right.
I mean, you can't answer your phone. You can't, like, really get up to go to the bathroom, or get up to get a drink, or I'm hungry, and open up the refrigerator and stand there when I'm trying to talk to you so you don't have to look at me or whatever. But no, I like it, because we're alone in the car, and we're sitting in the driveway. It's quiet. No one else is around. And it just worked. I like those talks.
Yeah.
A lot of good development came out of driveway talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes we were just chatting about fun things. It wasn't just like something that I need to talk to you about. Now, sometimes it was that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, okay, I want to know, you know, about this, you know, what happened here.
Yeah. I think what's important to highlight here is that I think a lot of parents step in for these conversations when they feel like it's something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not there for the slumber parties or the you know, let's go on a road trip. Or so we know with marriage studies that there needs to be a 5-to-1 ratio for good relationships for good things to bad things. So five good things for every bad thing that happens. And I think that a lot of parents neglect spending time getting excited about the good and rewarding for the good and just being happy about the good.
Right.
But then it's overdone when it's bad. So then there's a greater weight. Like, speak to that maybe, like parents that you have worked with and seen spend an exorbitant amount of time on this is wrong, but they don't praise their kids enough or are there for the fun.
Right. You need to talk to your kids and praise them for having a good attitude. Hey, thank you for answering me that way. I know you should, but I just want to tell you, I appreciate it. I hear you guys, all three of you, and Curtis, you know, I hear all you guys say that to your children. Thank you for having a good attitude, you know. but it's just like, you know, I was teased about it yesterday, but I complimented the person, it was at the store, and you know, the way they helped us and everything. I needed to compliment him because some people don't help you anymore. They just like look at you like, I don't want to work here and I don't want to listen to you. I don't want, you know, but he was very helpful and I wanted to compliment him. So I was teased about it, but that it works that way with your children as well.
Like, yeah. I like how you said, even if it's something that they ought to do, right? Like a chore, like cleaning their own room or making their own bed or having a good attitude, it's something they ought to do. But if they're praised for it, it's positive reinforcement. It's like basic psychology.
Oh, yeah. Right? It works.
It totally works.
It's basic. I mean, humans have figured out how to train pigeons. Right. Using, what is this, classical conditioning?
That, well, that's operant.
Operant. Okay, oh, operant conditioning. Right? Like, hey, do something good. Here's a treat. You do something good. I'm going to give you like an attaboy. Good job.
Right.
This is amazing. But parents.
It's our nature.
Yeah. Like, we thrive on that.
Yeah. So, right. We still like to hear that.
So if we're going to be consistent in our punishment, or let's just say correction rather than punishment, let's be consistent also with our praise and happiness and love.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that was like the consistency was that you were always asking us questions and genuinely interested. You were always asking us, how was your day? Or what did you do at youth? And who did you talk to? And not in an accusatory way, but just you were always asking. So when you were asking and you really were trying to get information, we didn't know any better necessarily because it was just normal.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
Right. And instead of you being, you know, nervous about complimenting or saying someone looked nice in their new suit or whatever, I would bring it up sometimes. Oh, I noticed so-and-so with his new suit on. You know, so because I wanted you to feel comfortable to talk about it because it's normal.
We wanted to tell you about who we liked or even when we had our first kiss or when we held hands. Like, we wanted to tell you that.
Yes. Right.
Like, because we knew that you were going to be genuinely interested. You were going to guide and correct and slow us down when we needed to be slowed down. And then, you know, you're going to celebrate with us when it was the right time.
Right. Because then you wanted to listen about the boundaries.
Yep.
Because it was important.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So good. Yeah. Well, any other questions that you guys have?
No, we'll think about them as soon as we stop the recording.
Well, we could go on and on and on for hours, but...
Okay, so if you guys have more questions for our mom, Kimberly Horton, so she is actually a parent coach. She has a Christian counseling certificate from Wilson University, and she is certified in Prepare Enrich, which is the same program we use with our couples. She uses the parenting version and the couples version, depending on what you're working on. But she has some open slots. Now, when this airs on the 31st, she will actually have a wedding that weekend. Our sister Kayla is getting married. So finally. She won't see you. Okay. She won't see you until after the wedding. So after June 4th. But if you shoot her an email, you'll be on her list where she can connect with you. And she has some open slots right now for parent coaching. She'll get you that information. And we can vouch for her. She's an awesome coach. She's had so many parents who are probably listening right now that would
She's
agree.
Been doing this pro bono for years.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
My wife turned out pretty great.
Oh,
right. Y'all did, and I appreciate that.
We'll put the email address in the show notes, but it is kimforparents@gmail.com. So it's KIMFOR parents, PARENTS @gmail.com. So you can reach out to her there, and she'll give you all the info if you want to set up some parenting coaching sessions.
Yes. My pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Oh, we're going to end it like we end all of our episodes. Rewind back to the first couple years of your marriage before any of us existed. And what advice do you wish you would have received? And then fill in the blank, dear young married couple.
Okay. Dear young married couple, take time to talk about everything, even when it's uncomfortable. And I've heard you say this before, get back to it if you don't have time right then. But it's important to start that habit in the younger years of your marriage, just like we do for our children, to start those habits when they're young. So then it's not uncomfortable, because that's important. That way if you can talk about everything in the beginning, you'll continue that through your marriage and having children and grandchildren.
Love it.
Amen. Thank you so much. We love you.
Aw, I love you guys. Thank you.
All right, friends. We really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797 or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple. And we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right, see you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.